Well, just a reminder, there is a sermon outline in the very inside your bulletin, so find it somewhere in there if you would choose to follow along with the sermon in that way. Well, Father was coming downstairs one morning getting ready for work, and he overhears his son saying to himself, the son said, "If I only had a $20 bill, I would be so content with that, I'd be happy." The dad quickly thought about it for a moment as he's entering into the kitchen, and he wanted his son to be happy, and so he comes in and he gives his son a $20 bill. The son thanks him, and the father then left the room after he forgot something upstairs. And so the dad waited outside the door to hear if the son might give thanks to God and what he'd say next. And after the dad left, the son said, "Why didn't I say 50 rather than 20? How often do we find ourselves acting like that son? We find ourselves wanting more and wanting more and then wanting more. It's like that dangling carrot that's out there. Once we get that carrot, there's another carrot behind it. And then there's another carrot behind that. You know, someone once said that all of the world lives in two tents, content and discontent. And so the question becomes for us, this morning, which tent do you find yourself living in? The tent of contentment or discontentment? Because today, honestly, we're looking at the contentment problem. And when we compare what we have ourselves with other people, we become dissatisfied. And really, discontentment is at the heart of who we are as people. That's what sin does. We never seem to have enough, right? And social media and technology seems to drive that home. The more we look at social media, the more we compare ourselves to others and what they have, and we become less satisfied with the things that we have, with our life, with our job, even with our relationship with God. And so this morning we're wrestling with the lethal danger of the comparison trap. As studies say that social media is one of the biggest driving causes of discontentment in the world today. As we see other people's lives on Facebook and TikTok and Instagram, you name it. And then as we're viewing and scrolling through these platforms, we come across perfect families, perfect vacations, perfect pictures. Remember, all these pictures, these videos have been filtered to kind of create this filtered view and version of reality, the version that other people want you to see of them. You see sunsets and new cars and vacations, and we see the highlight reel of other people's lives. As we compare that highlight reel to the behind-the-scenes look of our own lives and played out, what happens is as we view these perfect lives of others over time, it makes us feel discontent, like we're a loser, like somehow we're missing out, that we never find ourselves satisfied. It's like the story of two moms who were talking about how they disliked each other on social media. One was a working mom and the other was a stay-at-home mom. The working mom said, "I hated you because you are the perfect mom, the Pinterest stay-at-home mom who does crafts and structured time with her children. It just made me feel so guilty, like I wasn't doing enough." And the stay-at-home mom said, "Well, I hated you because you have a life out in the public eye. You are doing things. I haven't had my hair and anything done but a ponytail or seen an adult since 2009. And yet, the more we compare ourselves with others, the less satisfied we are of ourselves. Researchers have done a survey of students from two different universities looking at how they felt about themselves after just 30 minutes of Facebook use. What they found is that more than one-third of them felt worse about themselves and felt significantly depressed. A big emotion felt by those people, they felt by many, was the emotion of envy. Just by observing others, just by scrolling through social media, because again, they're seeing this filtered view of reality that is perfect, filtered images, videos, trips, vacations of the perfect life, and then they look at their own, and it's not the same. And what they say made them feel worse about themselves after just 30 minutes scrolling through social media. Social media definitely has a lot of good to it, right? I love how I can connect with family and friends across the world, but again, there's a dark side. It fuels discontentment as we long for the things that we see in other people's lives. And so what does this mean for us today? We're going to seek to recover biblical Christ-centered contentment. That's the goal of this sermon, that maybe you found yourselves just scrolling through social media. Maybe you found yourselves in that place of discontentment. But we're going to seek to reclaim Christ-centered contentment today, because Paul is a master at responding to life with a Christ-centered focus. If you read any of his letters, you know where they drive you? He drives you to Jesus. Again and again, to the grace that's found in Christ alone. And one of the best verses in all of Scripture talking about this topic of contentment is found in Philippians 4. He's in prison, basically under house arrest when he wrote this letter. And he's chained to a Roman prison guard 24 hours a day. Life certainly isn't how he would have imagined it being, right? I mean, do you picture yourself and your dream someday to be in prison? This is not on his highlight reel of things that he wanted to have happen in life, but here he is. Life wasn't the best for him right now. And yet, despite this, he writes these words. I'll invite you to join with me in just a moment, where Paul says, I know what it is to be in need, and I know what it is to have plenty. I have learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry. Let's join together. Whether living in plenty or in want, I can do all this through him who gives me strength. Paul is saying that the secret to contentment isn't found outside in this world, isn't found in the things that we have or the things that we do or the things that we don't have. The secret is really no secret at all. The secret of contentment is found in Jesus. It's found in a relationship with Christ and Christ alone. Because you can search and get all the likes that you want in social media and followers and be an influencer and strive for all of the approval from others in this world, and you will never be satisfied, truly satisfied, apart from a relationship with Jesus. Because you can never have enough followers. You can never have enough likes, right? I once heard someone say that you will always battle with discontentment until you let Jesus be all that you need. Paul says it this way. He says, let me let you in on a little secret. I can have a lot, and I can be in a Roman prison, and by Jesus, I can do everything he calls me to do. That this Jesus, this is the secret of contentment in this world. And so first of all, through Christ's strength, comparisons are killed, are put to death. And so let me just be upfront to say that it's not bad to strive for goals. It's not bad to want things, to have a better life, to want a better life and to work for it. But there is a line sometimes that we cross where it becomes all about us and it becomes self-serving, all about me rather than Jesus. The comparison trap is called envy. It's ignoring God's blessings in your life while striving for something or someone else. Paul says in 2 Corinthians 10, he says, we do not dare to classify or compare ourselves with some who commend themselves. When they measure themselves by themselves and compare themselves with themselves, they are not what? Wise. And yet, how many times do we see the world, even ourselves, doing this? Some may ask and say, well, Pastor, what's the big deal about comparison? What's the big deal about this idea, this topic of envy? Why should we strive to kill envy in all these things? Why is it so dangerous? Well, in our Ten Commandments, two of our Ten Commandments actually deal with this area of envy. It's called coveting. thou shalt not covet in verses or commandments 9 and 10, talking about the stuff and the people and coveting after these things. And we see that coveting, it impacts our relationship with others. Sin separates and kills. And yet, one of the biggest things to taking back your life from social media is just being aware. Awareness of it and what social media is. And think for a moment how much time you spend on social media and technology today. Just on, time on a phone. Do you know some studies have been done that found they found that we spend 5 hours and 16 minutes of our life every day on a phone, on average in this world today. Think about that for a moment. Whether we're talking with someone, texting someone, scrolling through social media, we check our phones some 205 times in a day. How many times in this worship service have we checked our phones? The first step in all this is just being aware. There's actually apps out there that can help you track how much time you spend on your phone. And honestly, it's pretty eye-opening if we start tracking how much time we actually spend on technology. Because whatever is feeding your envy or your discontentment, we need to find ways to better rein it in, to get it better under control. Technology isn't a bad thing. It's just a tool. We can use it for the sake of the gospel. But it can also be all-consuming as well if we don't have boundaries in our life around it. And so what I have found as we talk about technology and contentment is gratitude is kind of the weapon against envy. Gratitude as a way of killing envy. You know, through Christ's strength to cultivate gratitude. Contentment is killed as we walk with Jesus, as He becomes more and we become less. That's what a gratitude kind of life does, as we learn what it means to take up the cross and to follow Jesus. And the thing about gratitude is a discipline. It's like a spiritual muscle that we have that we got to work it. It doesn't just happen. It's a muscle that we got to work to grow it. And so that this week's challenge, as we're talking about the unfiltered challenge to reclaim technology, is simply this: to consider posting on Facebook or whatever social media platform you're on, 3 things you're thankful for, and that you can't buy with money. And maybe tag someone on Facebook as a part of that list, or someone that makes your life richer, or write a note to them, even better, a handwritten note just expressing your gratitude for them and what that person means to you. Because there's something about a grateful heart that changes us, that changes our perspective as we are grateful for the blessings that we have received. And where do these blessings come from? From God, from Christ. As Ecclesiastes 6, Solomon reminds us, enjoy what you have rather than desiring what you don't have. Let's join together. Just dreaming about nice things is meaningless, like chasing the wind. Enjoy the things that you have rather than striving for more. That's a definition of contentment, right? Reminds me of a story that Fred Craddock tells of growing up during the time of the Great Depression. In this time, money, as you can imagine, was often scarce and in short supply for his family. And because not enough money was coming in to survive, they had to move to town for work. And so everyone in their family tried to find an extra job to bring money in. And they kept a cigar box on the kitchen table where all the funds that were made were put in this box. And the monies went to pay for rent, for food, and just life. And once in a while, the father on Friday nights would buy his wife a box of chocolate and some roses. And she'd always make a fuss and tell her husband, just stop it, that they didn't have the money for this. Until one day, the father shared this word to the mom. He said, when our life is defined by what goes in and out of the box, we will then be poor people. Life then robs us of our joy. We see this picture described in our text in Philippians 4, that Paul refuses to allow his time in jail to define him and his life and purpose, to steal his contentment and his joy, because his joy and his contentment, his identity is found in Christ and in Christ alone. And I don't know about you, but as I look at my own life, there are certainly times that I wrestle with this area of contentment. You know, life is crazy right now. You know, there's a move within the next couple weeks that are going to be happening. I'm going to have this time of transition before my closing in July. And there's stuff around the house that needs to be done. Maybe I'm not as regular in the gym as I'd like to be. But we all have these places of contentment or discontentment that tries to steal our joy. Places where we compare our life to other people, to the highlight reels of what we see and social media around us today, whether in finances, in family, in our faith, in life, relationships, even in our walk with Jesus. But yet, the only place, the one place where we find our true contentment and joy in life is in Christ alone. As Paul says, I've learned the secret of being content. And that secret is no secret at all. It's in Jesus. Max Lucado, he says it this way. He says, what has God been teaching me this year? He's been teaching me that it's not about me. At this life that we live, it's not about me. It's all about Jesus, you know, God's life in us. And so this week, you will be tempted to compare your life to someone else. And when we find ourselves in that place and feel like you're losing that battle, in that moment, remember this image. That cigar box, that if your joy is defined by what's in that box, by what's going on in your life, the things that you have or don't have, you will always be missing something. You will always be poor and chasing after that carrot. But if your joy is defined by who is on the throne, you will always be rich. It's time to kill the comparison and to cultivate the gratitude, to move out of the tent of more and into the rest of Him. Father, we come before You. We thank You for Jesus. But as we think about our own lives, it's so easy to get caught up and to be discontent with the things that we have, always wanting more, the nicer car, the bigger home, the larger paycheck, the whatever it is that's going on, Father, there's an area of discontentment within all of us. And we pray that today that discontentment would be put to death through gratitude, through taking up the cross and following You, knowing that the answer to our discontentment isn't found in anything that we do, but it's found in the secret that Paul discovered and shares with us today, that we can have a lot and we can have little, but that contentment is found in You and abiding in You. And so we pray that You would lead us to find that joy, that contentment in our life and our walk in this world, to know that it's not found in what we have, but in who has us. In Your name we pray. Amen.